Joshua chapter number 8. If you would turn with us there for a few minutes. Joshua chapter number 8. Now, in the context of this that I'm reading to you, Joshua has led the children of Israel over Jordan by the leadership of the Lord, and Moses now has died, and God has placed Joshua in Moses' stead, and now he's leading them into the land of Canaan. Now, the land of Canaan sometimes in song is referred to as heaven, and sometimes it's referred to then in the scriptures as a spirit-filled life for the believer. Now, when you get born again, you cross over into a different place. Amen. Once in a land of darkness and in sin, he brings you into a position of a place of light and righteousness. And so now they're headed into this newfound life in God and the deliverance that God had delivered them into. And you remember when they crossed over Jordan and went into Jericho, there was a harlot there by the name of Rahab. Rahab the harlot, when the spies came over into Jericho, the spies of Israel, she told them that we have heard of you. And they have heard of the God that they have served and the great deliverance and the passing of the Red Sea and now the passing of Jordan, and fear had set up in the land of Canaan on the behalf of the God of Israel. And so now they are afraid, and they came into Jericho, and Jericho then had fell under the command of God, and the walls had come tumbling down. And as they had marched around Jericho, and God delivered Jericho into the hands of the Israelite and wrought a great victory, great victory. Jericho was the first city that they'd come to. And it was a city that God had claimed as being the first fruits of the victories that Israel would enjoy in the land of Canaan. Isn't it good to be a winner in the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. It's good to have victory along the way.
Yes.
And now as they're traveling through this spirit-filled life, they encounter another battle, as spirit-filled lives do. We encounter one battle after another battle in our Christian walk with God. And that's just the way it is. I wished I could stand up here and tell you that when you get born again, that you'll never have any more problems, that all your bills will be paid, you won't ever have any sickness or pain here in this life. And I wished I could tell you that, but that's not so. Every child of God, it's not long till after we've been saved till we realize that this world is full of trouble and a lot of problems. We know that. But there are victories along the way. Amen. And we know that God is with us in these victories along life's journey. Now, they have come to the little town, little place called Ai, where Joshua and the children of Israel had been relishing in the victory of Jericho. And now they've come to Ai, and they see it as a little place that doesn't really demand a lot of courage, nor does it demand a lot of fight, a lot of warfare. So they feel like within themselves, because they had seen the victory at Jericho, that Ai would be no problem. That's the way our lives are a lot of times. We think that now that God has gave us a victory in a battle, we don't need him anymore. That we're capable of handling all the battles that come before us in our spiritual walk with God. That we don't need the Bible anymore. We don't need to pray anymore. We don't need to come to church anymore. We don't need to serve the Lord anymore. We've got this and we're fine. Well, it doesn't work that way. It never works that way. We're solely dependent upon the power of God. Without the power of God, we're defenseless against the devil. We're defenseless against the world. We fall right into the same temptations and the lusts of the flesh as we've always had. When we were saved, this is not saved. This flesh is not saved, and so we have it to contend with always. The Apostle Paul said there's a warfare that takes up in our soul, a fighting against the flesh and against the world and against Satan himself. And so we feel like that we don't need prayer anymore, nor Bible study anymore, Sunday school no more. We've arrived to an educational level until we feel like that we're strong enough to fight on our own. That's exactly the way Israel felt here at Ai. But the Bible said while they were there in that battle that the accursed thing was stolen in Jericho, that God had told the people there that all the spoils in Jericho belong to him. Do not take anything. But we know that there was a man by the name of Achan had stolen the accursed thing there, how the golden wedge, the Babylonian garment, and they hid those and they took them. They had harbored sin in their lives. Now, to bring this back into its context, God dealt with Israel in those days, but he deals with the individual person today. He deals with just you and me, and he cannot move you forward if there is sin in your life. You've got to deal with it. Somebody said, what am I going to do? Repent.
Yeah.
Repent. He said, except ye all repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And so there's that little word to turn back to God. We've got to agree with God that sin is sin. We've got to tell it just like God says it and confess it as being such, as being sin, and get cleansed of it to where we can again enjoy the victories that God has for us. What seemed so little to Joshua and the people of God became so big in their lives when they lost that victory that day. I want to preach to us this morning, if God will help me, for just a few minutes on the thought restoring your soul. Let's stand together. Let me read a couple of verses. Let's stand together. Restoring your soul. The Bible said in chapter number 8 now, he said, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise and go to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst to Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee in ambush for the city behind it. Our Father, we bow in your divine presence this morning. Lord, we come before you as humble as we know how, thanking you, dear God, for every blessing. Thank you for your love and for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for this church and these that are bound with us. I pray, Lord, that you'd do a work in our heart that we cannot do. Have your way this morning in the service. Anoint us afresh with fresh oil. Lord, I pray that you'd give us power to preach one more time, that your word might go out and find its place, Lord, in the hearts of every man, woman, boy, and girl in the building. We ask you now to go with us in the service. And Lord, what you do for us, we'll be careful to thank you. And we'll pray and we'll give you praise and glory for all that's done. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen and amen. Restoring your soul. I want to talk to us on that thought for just a few minutes. King David knew what it was like to have a drooping spirit, to have the need of a restoring soul. In that great psalm, the 123rd psalm, he said, he restoreth my soul. He had pleaded unto God his Father and said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. There's a restoration for the people of God. How the Bible tells us, he said, brethren, that you, if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And so there's there is the ability to sin after you get saved. And so the blood of Jesus is able to cover all of our sin, past, present, and future. I'm thankful this morning that we have the forgiveness of sin. And so sin is the culprit of a drooping heart. Sin is the culprit of a discouraged saint of God. Oftentimes, how when we do get discouraged, how we feel like that the Lord wasn't with us, Joshua, there's no doubt in my mind that he felt like the same God that gave them victory at Jericho has now forsaken them at Ai. He didn't understand the loss there at Ai, but God told him that there was sin in the camp. Sin was what held Israel back from getting that victory that they had at Ai. Sin will always hold you back in the fellowship with God and in the joys of God's salvation. You can't move forward when sin affects you in your life. How committed sin in your life comes in various ways. Sometimes it comes with action, sometimes with attitude. How sin will get in your mind. Maybe it's a thought, an unbecoming of a Christian that needs forgiveness of. How cleansing. Maybe it's something that you literally have done in your life. Sin. Maybe it's hidden sin. Sometimes, oftentimes, at all times, sin to a Christian tries to be hidden. And just like it was in Achan's day, when Achan had hid that sin in his tent, hoping that nobody would find out about it. But God knows about us. He knows all about us. He knows our fallings and he knows our uprisings. He knows everything about us. Why do we think that we can possibly hide our sin from God? The Bible says the eyes of God are beholding all the earth. There's not one thing that God doesn't know about you or me. It's a problem that we face today when our soul begins to fall. I've seen good Christian people fall into sin, and the next thing you know, their relationship with God is never the same. I want to say to you this morning, there's a restoration for your soul. You don't have to live in your sin. You can be delivered from your sin this morning. A God with outstretched arms is willing, amen, and waiting for you to come and admit to him that you're a sinner. He has forgiveness in the blood of Jesus that you and I can obtain. The Bible said Jesus came to die for our sin. He went to the cross of Calvary, shed his own blood, that we through him can have the forgiveness of sin. And so we know today that it's the possibility of the cleansing of sin. If you'll come and repent of your sin, but if you'll harbor that sin and you take it back home with you, there is no restoration for you, but you can come to restore your soul. That's what Israel needed here in the text, was restoration of their soul. It was the inner part where they had the problem. It was in the depths of Israel where the sin was. And it was the sin Achan did not want to confess. He'd rather hide it. It was in the depth of his heart where sin was. Amen. And so it is with a soul that's drooping and discouraged. It's an inside problem. It's not an outside problem with the soul. Amen. The Bible said the soul and teaches us that the soul is a very important part of our being. Amen. The Bible said, what profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses his soul? And he said, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I want to tell you this morning, our soul is important to God. Amen. You might not think it's important to you, but it's important to God. The Bible tells us in the Word of God that the soul that sinneth shall surely die. Every soul shall be called into judgment. Amen. Amen. When the Apostle Paul in the ship headed in his journey, there was some 276 souls on that ship that day. And God said, not a soul would be lost. Amen. I tell you, he cherishes our soul. How the outer man will perish, but the inward man's renewed day by day. Amen. This old man that you see right here, it'll fall off one day and they'll put it in the ground. But oh, that soul, hallelujah, that belongs to God, will go back to the Maker in whom it gave. Amen. Oh, the restoration of your soul. David realized the joy that he found in his soul when he had fellowship with God. The Bible said that is a man after God's own heart, and he loved God, but sin had crept in and the fellowship was broken. I want to tell you, but his favor was never broken. Amen. God always favors you. He's on your side. Amen. He don't want to kick you down the road, but he wants to restore your soul. David said, he restoreth my soul. A couple of things here in the text now that'll bring a man in that restoration. How the Bible tells, first of all, that you're not to wallow in your failures. Not to wallow in your failures. I've seen many of Christian folks, amen, get just knocked down because they have failed God. I've failed God. I've failed God. I wish I could stand before God and say I've done everything just right. But I hadn't done everything just right. And neither have you done everything just right. Oftentimes I'll get out away from the pulpit on my way home and feel like a failure. That's what I do. I preach the gospel because he called me to preach the gospel. And I feel like sometimes when I get off the pulpit that I've made a mess out of the delivery, I've made a mess out of the sermon, and I feel like a failure. But I don't wallow in it, amen. I get up and keep going. Now Israel could have wallowed, Joshua could have wallowed in his failures. He could have said, oh me, pitiful me. And he could have just quit and stayed right there and lost his joy in his spirit-filled life in the land of Canaan. You remember what God said? God said, I'm going to lead you to a land flowing with milk and honey. Amen. That's what I want this morning. A place that's flowing with milk and honey. It's mine. It's all mine. How about Joshua? I could have watered in his failure. He could have said, I've made a mess of this thing. I should have taken it more serious. I should have prayed harder. I should have read my Bible more. I should have went to church more. I want to tell you, quit wallowing in your failures today. Amen. And get up and follow God. Amen. Follow God. He don't want you to stay where you're at, but he wants you to progress in your living, in your life for God. Amen. And so we ought not always wallow in our failures. I tell you, Sunday school teachers, you're here this morning and you feel like, because nobody hardly comes to your Sunday school class, you feel like it's your fault. Don't wallow in your failures. Amen. It's not your fault. If people love God and the Word of God and the study of the Word of God, they'd be in your Sunday school class. Amen. It's the problem. They just don't love God nor the Word of God. And it might be they just need restoration in their soul. They just need a God to move in a mighty way. He said if you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. I tried to pray this last week, all week long. I said, Lord, I'm a trying to draw near to you. Will you draw near to me? You said you'd draw near to me. And all week long, I tried to draw near to him. I feel like I'm nearer today than I was Monday morning. Hallelujah. Because I've made the step, the initiation towards him. And when I took one step, he took two. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, he'll draw near to you. Quit wallowing in your faith. But then you're going to have to stop warring in your fear. Amen. You can't fight anything when you're afraid. David was never afraid of that giant because God was with him. Israel was not afraid of Jericho. They was not afraid of Jericho. They didn't know any better but than to just trust God. Sometimes I think about what it was like when I first got saved. I didn't have no Bible knowledge. I didn't have no church knowledge, didn't know anything. All I knew to do is go the knee route and just pray read, stumble around in my Bible. I didn't know anything about that book. And I'd sit in the kitchen table and I'd read that Bible. And I'd try my best to glean from it what the Holy Ghost was teaching me, what I needed out of the Word of God, as simple as it was. And I'd try my best how to get that. And the little bit of sense that I had sense enough to know to trust God. Amen. That's all I knew to do, was just trust that God had saved me and that God is going to lead me. And I found out that you can't get afraid in the warfares of this life. You're going to have those battles. You're going to war. Don't be afraid. God is with us. God wants to give us victory. As they went to Ai, I want to tell you how Joshua and the children of Israel, when they went to battle and they were defeated, the Lord specifically told them here in chapter number 8, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. What had happened? Well, they had been whooped. They had just taken a whooping. They had their choice as men on the battlefield. And Ai, as little as they were, defeated them. And they were afraid to try it again. They were afraid to move forward. They were afraid. And the Bible said that God told them, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Don't be afraid in your warfare. Amen. God's on your side. Amen. Greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. Amen. Amen. Some of you are battling cancer. Some of you are battling sicknesses. I am. Yeah. We all face a lot of troubles in our lives, but God has never forsaken us. Yeah. He's always been with us and moving along with us. He's making us the person that he wants us to be. Right. Amen. The Bible told God told Israel and Joshua here, don't be afraid in your war. Amen. But always trust in God's plan. God's plan is different than yours and my plan. Sometimes we think that God's plan won't work, but we ought not ever wonder in the plan of God. It's always worked. He never fails. Amen. Amen. He never falters. Thank God he never lost a battle. Amen. Hallelujah. His plan will still work today like it did yesterday. It'll work for the next generation. Amen. 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 The Bible said when the Apostle Paul declared the gospel that Christ came and died and was buried and was raised from the dead. Amen. It's worked and for every generation, for every person that's ever came to God under the leadership of the Holy Ghost. I believe to this morning that God's plan never will fail for your life. Amen. He's got his eye on you. Amen. Amen. He wants you to win. It's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to win. He wants you to have victory. But if you're going to war in fear, you can't move. Amen. But you're going to have to win in faith. Amen. You're going to have to believe God, that God's got the answer. Quit wondering about his plan. It'll still work today. God told Israel, he said, to do this. He said, you lay in ambush for the city behind you. Joshua rose and all the people of war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. Commanded them, saying, behold, ye shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but be ye all ready. And I and all the people that are with me will approach, listen to this now, unto the city. And it shall come to pass when they come out against us, as at the first, that we will flee before them. And they'll follow after us. When they follow after us, you get in behind them and you overtake them. Yeah. And overtake the city and God will give you victory. Amen. God is smarter than the devil. Amen. Did y'all know that?
Yeah.
That devil's a dummy.
Yeah.
We give him too much credit. We do. We give the devil too much credit. He's a dummy.
Yeah.
And you can tell him that this preacher said that.
Amen.
Amen. You think he can win a battle? Listen, he don't have any more power than what God will allow him to have. Amen. And so now, are they trusting in the plan of God? You're going to have to win with your faith this morning to trust in God's plan that God has for you. Hindsight, they say, is 20/20. When you look back over across the years of your Christian walk, you see God's hand moving all your life, in your life, and helping you. Even in your failures, he lifts you up. And in your fears, he gave you strength. And in your faith, he gave you victory. And I'm going to tell you this morning, God wants to restore your soul. You've lost confidence in God. You no longer believe that God is able to do what he says he'll do. I'm afraid we do that because we belittle him to our level. He's much bigger than we are. Amen. His thoughts are much higher than our thoughts. His ways are way above our ways. He's not like you and me. He's not like you and me. He's much better, much wiser, much stronger, and he can give you victory. Restoring your soul. Restoring your soul. When they won the victory, the Bible said that Joshua built an altar to the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal. As Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones over which no man hath lift up any iron. They offered thereunto burnt offerings unto the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. Sounds like a restoration to me. They began to build the altars back. Their lives began to get lifted. Their souls restored. And they become the people to march onward in the land of Canaan. God wants to restore your soul this morning. Will you come to him? Remember, at best we're failures. But God doesn't work in our failing. He's a God that never fails. He wants to lift you up this morning, stand you back, let you stand in the grace and in the power of God, restoring your soul. When was the last time you spoke to somebody about Jesus? Had the strength to tell somebody about the Lord? Let's stand this morning while we get us a song ready.